are blessed to have our speaker today, Nate Fisher, working hard through homiletics and now is going to share the good word. Will you join me in a word of prayer for him? Heavenly Father, we pray for Nate, Lord, your servant who you've called up to proclaim boldly the word of truth. Father, help him to speak your truth only. Help us to hear your truth only. Help him to overcome the anxiety, the nervousness, any fear that may be in his heart. Help him to be comforted in the fact that you are guiding his speech and that he's surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And Father, help him to look forward to the moment when he hears that still small voice say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for bringing up a proclaimer of your truth." Be with him today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome him today.
Well, you guys can help me out. I'm definitely nervous. So if I say something that is slightly funny, or even if you think I'm trying to be funny, you can go ahead and just laugh. It'll help me. Thank you. And if I say something, more importantly, if I say something that you feel is worthy of an amen, I just want to let you know you have full permission to say amen in chapel. I'm the speaker, so I get to make the rules. Hey, I know, sometimes when we have a speaker and they say something funny, I feel like I'm the only one who laughs, and then everyone kind of looks at me like, are we allowed to laugh in chapel? So you will help me by saying amen, because that lets me know that you're paying attention, that you're not asleep yet. It lets me know that you're tracking with me and that I'm going a good direction. So thank you. Okay. I'm currently working through a 5-part series entitled Discovering Your Destiny. Every single person in this room has a destiny that God has prepared for them. It's good. We know that it's good, and we know that God has great plans for each and every one of your lives. And so the purpose of this series is to help you discover that destiny and to walk in that destiny more successfully and more confidently. So go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. The title of this sermon is Going Deeper. Are there any Office fans in the room? Okay, a few of us. If you're shy, go ahead and just. Okay, if you ever have seen The Office, even one episode, don't be afraid to admit, just go ahead and raise your hand if you've seen The Office one time. Okay, so most of you guys know what I'm talking about when I say the name Michael Scott. Okay, see, everyone's already laughing. Okay, the thing about Michael Scott is he has this idea of himself as being this great leader. He thinks he's really funny, he thinks he's entertaining, but really, he's just extremely offensive to everyone. And he is just really impressed with himself. Well, at this point in 1 Samuel, King Saul is a lot like Michael Scott. It's true. Saul has this idea of himself as being a really good king. He thinks he's really spiritual. He thinks that he knows what he's doing. But really, most of the time, when we look at the things Saul does, he's not connected to God at all. His relationship with God is very shallow, and we can see evidence of it in the foolish decisions that he makes, and our text today is going to be another example. The thing is, he doesn't really know what God wants him to do, and his relationship with God is shallow, and so he walks around kind of making these crazy statements and swearing people to these crazy oaths that are just irrational and stupid because he's trying to keep faith. Because he knows inside his heart he's actually really fake. So if you are there in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we're going to start at verse 24. Just give me a big smile if you're there, if you're ready. If you don't have your Bible and you're just going to listen, just smile at me anyway. Pretend like, okay, awesome. So verse 24, and it reads, "Now the men of Israel were in distress that day, because Saul had bound the people under an oath, saying, 'Cursed be any man who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself on my enemies. So none of the troops had tasted food. The entire army entered the woods, and there was honey on the ground. When they went into the woods, they saw the honey oozing out, yet no one put his hand to his mouth because they feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard that his father had bound the people with the oath, so he reached out the end of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it into the honeycomb. He raised his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the soldiers told him, "Your father bound the army under a strict oath, saying, 'Cursed be any man who eats food today.' That is why the men are faint." Jonathan said, "My father has made trouble for the country. See how my eyes brightened when I tasted a little of this honey? How much better it would have been if the men had eaten today some of the plunder they took from their enemies. Would not the slaughter of the Philistines have been even greater?" That day, after the Israelites had struck down the Philistines from Michmash to Ajalon, they were exhausted. They pounced on the plunder, and taking sheep, cattle, and calves, they butchered them on the ground and ate them, together with the blood. Then someone said to Saul, "Look, the men are sinning against the Lord by eating meat that has blood in it." "You have broken faith," he said. "Roll a large stone over here at once." Then he said, "Go out among the men and tell them, 'Each of you bring me your cattle and sheep, and slaughter them here and eat them. Do not sin against the Lord by eating meat with blood still in it.'" So everyone brought his ox that night and slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first time he had done this. Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them till dawn, and let us not leave one of them alive." "Do whatever seems best to you," they replied. But the priest said, "Let us inquire of God here." So Saul asked God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into Israel's hand?" But God did not answer him that day. Saul therefore said, "Come here, all you who are leaders of the army, and let us find out what sin has been committed today. As surely as the Lord who rescues Israel lives, even if it lies with my son Jonathan, he must die." But not one of the men said a word. Saul then said to all the Israelites, "You stand over there. I and Jonathan, my son, will stand over here." "Do what seems best to you," the men replied. Then Saul prayed to the Lord, the God of Israel, "Give me the right answer." And Jonathan and Saul were taken by lot, and the men were cleared. Saul said, "Cast the lot between me and Jonathan, my son." And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." So Jonathan told him, "I merely tasted a little honey with the end of my staff, and now must I die?" Saul said, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you do not die, Jonathan." But the men said to Saul, "Should Jonathan die? He who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? Never. As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground, for he did this today with God's help." So the men rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. People are attracted to leaders who have great depth. Saul's poor leadership is a product of his shallow relationship with God. We can point fingers at Saul all day, but if we're truly honest with ourselves, we fake spiritual depth all the time, when really, contrary to the fact, we ourselves are shallow and empty. So we have these things that we say to try to make ourselves look kind of spiritual. I mean, how many of you guys know Christians don't hang out, right? They have fellowship, right? When a Christian doesn't have an answer, they don't say, "Oh, I don't know the answer," because Christians always know the answer. And so instead we say, "Oh, I'll pray for you." Wow, okay. Do I need to lower that? I'm getting a lot of breath sounds. Okay. See, when a Christian thinks they don't want to do something, they don't say, "I don't want to." They say, "Oh, I don't feel led to." Because, see, if we don't want to do something, it's God's fault because he didn't lead us to. How about this? "God told me to tell you to stop playing your bass during quiet hours." Yeah, it was God. I mean, I'm not complaining, just, you know. But you got to listen to the big man. Just give it to God. This is the one that always got me. I would hear countless people stand up and say, oh, just give it to God. Just give it to God. What does that even mean? Like, can I take my abstract emotions in my hand and can you show me where God is so I can go and hand it to him? Because as far as I know, he's invisible and omnipresent. So, I mean, I understand the meaning, but we say these things and we don't really think through, like, what does that really mean in reality? I think we get caught up in these abstract ideas, and we point to other religions and say they don't know what they believe, but do we know what we believe? This one's more just kind of funny. Bless this food to our bodies. What does that even mean? Like, does anyone talk like that at any place other than the dinner table? Do you walk into the cafeteria? Bless this food to my body. I mean, do you walk up to Sue or any of the lunch ladies and say, you know, this food just blessed my body today? No one talks like that. So why do we talk like that when we pray to God? Are we impressing someone? Is it just a tradition? Maybe it's just a tradition. Sometimes we do things that are fake, like coming up to the altar. Now, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not going to say that when people come up here, it's not genuine, and that's awesome. I don't have no problem with that. But if we're coming up here and we're like, everyone sees me, okay, oh, I am so spiritual right now. Man, everyone is watching me. They know that I am having my moment with God. Yeah, oh yeah, right, my tissue, I'm crying, fake tear. Here's the thing. I think people know when we're being fake, especially the world. They know if what we're saying is really genuine or if it's fake. Shallow Christianity will only further alienate you and others from Christ. Only authentic, transparent Christianity will enable you to walk in the destiny God has prepared for you. To be deep Christians, we need to stop believing that our relationship with God is about what we do. So let's look at Saul some more here. My first point, deep leaders trust in God's sufficiency. We have Saul. Excuse me. We have Saul, and the, you know, the battle against the Philistines has gone pretty well up until this point. The Philistines have been routed. They're retreating, and Saul looks, and there must have been some really hungry Israelites around him saying, "Man, can we stop and eat? Has anyone run a marathon before? Anybody? Okay, oh, one person's run a marathon. Okay, has anyone run before? Like in a race? Okay, that's better. Okay, would it be wise to fast for 24 hours?" Up until your race? No, right? Because your body needs energy. You need to replenish that energy by eating food. That's simple science. So, Saul looks, and the men are hungry, and the Philistines are running away, but he doesn't trust that God will deliver victory. Instead, he makes this crazy oath. And I have no idea what he was thinking, but he says, "No one can eat anything today until we defeat the Philistines." Maybe he thought it would take too long to eat. I mean, it's not like they had these MREs that they could just cook up and, like, you know, they didn't have freeze-dried food. They had to actually kill an animal, you know, drain the blood out, cook the blood out. Okay, fine. But Saul is looking at his circumstances instead of believing that God's going to deliver victory. So he makes this crazy curse. You know, why couldn't he just say, "Hey, let's not stop and have a big feast yet. Let's go finish this first." Why did he have to pronounce capital punishment for eating any food? Now, of course, Jonathan doesn't hear about it. There's some honey on the ground randomly. That's great. it's like walking through the woods and your favorite candy bar is just like sitting there. And so, of course, he doesn't know. And here's what gets me. He's dipping the staff in the honey. He's getting ready to eat. And what are the rest of these guys doing that are watching him? They're all like, "Hey, should we tell him about the oath? He's the king's son. Like, can we really tell him anything? I don't know." So he eats some honey, and his eyes brighten. Have you ever tasted something delicious that just made your eyes like, "Wow, It must have been some amazing honey. Because when I eat honey, my eyes don't really brighten, but okay. So he eats this honey, and then someone's like, hey, oh, by the way, Saul pronounced a curse on anyone who eats today. Well, thanks, you could have told me that. Anyway, and Jonathan's not buying it. He sees right through. He's like, my father's just causing trouble. This is ridiculous. If any of you had a dysfunctional relationship with your father, you're not the only one. It's in the Bible. So, anyway, they go and they defeat the Philistines. It's a good victory, but everyone is so hungry because they've been fasting all day while fighting that the first thing they do is they jump on all the plunder and they just start eating. They're so hungry, they're eating the food with the blood. They're not even cooking it. Does that sound good? That's how hungry they were. So they're eating the food with the blood. And Saul comes on the scene, and the priest goes over to him. Hey, they're sinning. They can't eat the blood. And so Saul, in his infinite wisdom, says, what is he? He accuses them. You have broken faith. Not that it's not my fault for making the stupid oath in the first place. Here's the thing. Point number two. Deep leaders take responsibility for their actions. I think a lot of Christians have a hard time with that. Saul's shallow leadership led him to blame the soldiers for sinning by eating blood, not admitting that it was their own fault, his own fault, for pronouncing the oath in the first place. So now they're eating the food properly, and the Philistines are still getting away, but everyone has replenished their bodies, and they're ready, and Saul just says, okay, let's go down by night and plunder them again. We're going to go take them out, and completely forgetting about God. So the priest has to speak up, hey, maybe we should ask God first. That's normally what we do when we go into war. Okay, so Saul's like, oh, yeah. I mean, he's probably embarrassed at this point, like, oh, duh, of course, ask God. Yeah, so he gets in on it, and he says, okay, God, what should we do? Should we go down there and fight? And God doesn't answer him. So at this point, he's probably even more embarrassed. Like, all these guys know I'm a fool. They're seeing right through my fakeness. Okay, I gotta step it up. Okay, someone has sinned, and we gotta figure out who the sinner is. That's his next plan. So they take they cast the lots, comes down to Jonathan. Jonathan's like, hey, I ate some honey on the ground. Really? Am I gonna die? Seriously? Saul's like, yep, you gotta die. This is my third point. God was never involved in the oath in the first place. He said, no one can eat until I'm avenged on my enemies. Look at the terminology there. It's all about Saul. It's not about God. And so he didn't have to do this, but then he brings God into the oath. He says, may God deal with me so severely if you do not die, Jonathan. He didn't have to do that. Why did he have to do that? And so that's my third point. Deep leaders do not operate on the basis of legalism, but that of grace. Saul very easily could have said, you know what? You were ignorant. You didn't even know about the oath. And it was just a little bit of honey. And actually, everyone's saying that you're the one who won the battle today. So maybe it was provision from God. Maybe we're just going to let it go. But here's the thing. Oath taking in the Old Testament was a very big deal. You broke your oath, that was like shame upon shame. And so what I see here is Saul is more concerned about keeping face in front of the army than he is about sparing his own son's life. When our reputation becomes more important to us than a human life, our own son for that matter, something has gone wrong. Saul is still trying to keep face. So here's the thing. You know why we're so prone to being fake? It's because we perpetually forget about grace. We still think God's sitting up there with a lightning bolt in hand, just waiting for us to fail so that he can just pound us, bring down the hammer. I don't know why. We know it's not biblical. But somehow there's this process where we degenerate from grace, and we go back to this idea of works. It's about me being good enough. Can I be good enough? So we try our best to shape up, put a smile on, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, convince everyone we're problem-free, like all the other fakers, like somehow becoming a Christian is supposed to make your life perfect. We start climbing the ladder to God. We imitate what we see all the other imitators doing, so no one will think that we're out of kilter in our almost non-existent relationship with God. Then we become self-righteous. We actually begin to believe we're righteous. We've made it. And now we're standing at the top looking at down at all the other minions climbing the ladder up. All the while, we're still incredibly insecure. We become experts at maintaining our appearance so no one will see that we're incredibly insecure behind our facade. Did you notice that every one of those statements began with we? You can be a deep Christian. It's not even very hard. All you have to do is give up the act. Stop trying to keep up with the spiritual people. Stop trying to pay God back as if that's somehow possible. Stop beating yourself up when you fall short as if that's so surprising. You've been trying too hard for too long to be good enough. You will never be good enough. Jesus is good enough. And he's the only one. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for all of you. His grace is sufficient for all of your sin. And his grace will always be sufficient for you. Christianity has never been about God climbing their way. Sorry. Christianity has never been about man climbing their way up to God. Christianity is and always has been God coming down to man. He comes down to our level. He became flesh. Christianity is about what God has done. Christianity is God becoming a man, trading places with the sinner, and subjecting himself to crucifixion. Also that he can look at us and say, blameless. But God, you don't understand, I blameless. But that one time when I blameless. Casey, could you turn the... Thank you. I want you guys to listen to this song. And just give up the act. Accept God's grace on the basis of him and who he is and what he has done. The world has had it with fake Christianity. They don't want to hear fire and brimstone preaching. They don't want to hear John 3:16. And they don't want to hear another cliche. If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. That's not going to help anyone. They're exhausted from trying to decode our Christianese. The world responds to people whose lives point to something bigger than themselves. People who will be real and say, yes, I messed up. I don't have it all together. In fact, it's harder now that I know the difference between right and wrong because I fall every day and it kills me inside. But this one thing I know. I have peace with my God. He's given me a destiny, and it's not because of who I am or what I've done. It's because of who he is and what he has done. Pray with me. God, we want to be real. We don't want to be fake. I ask, Lord, that you would show us your love and your grace. Teach us, Lord, that this relationship is based on you and what you have done, and not on us, not on our failures. Lord, we try our best, but we will continue failing. And it breaks our heart. But your grace is sufficient. God, and I just ask that you would help us to remember your grace is sufficient. We would continue to walk in that grace. And that we would stop trying to justify ourselves with works. I pray, Lord, that the world out there that says we're just a bunch of hypocrites, God, I pray we would have the humility to say, yeah, you're absolutely right. But your grace is enough. And it's enough for everyone else too. God, I pray that we'd be vessels and that we would not live on the basis of legalism, but on that of grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.